Could we read, please, for our encouragement, a few verses from Genesis chapter 15, reading from verse 1. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus? And Abram said, Behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, This shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, Look now toward heaven, and tell the stars if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, So shall thy seed be. And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. That last statement there is a fundamental statement of the Bible, and is taken up by the Apostle Paul as an example of what we now know to be justification by faith, and Abraham is spoken of as an example of that, and that principle is taught on the basis of what Abraham believed. For it was many years after this that the son was born, but God saw his faith and he was justified at that particular time. But I have particularly in mind the promise that God gave to Abraham, or the encouragement that God gave to Abraham, which in verse 1 particularly, Fear not, Abraham, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And the three things that God said to Abraham there were, first of all, don't be afraid. Secondly, he said, I am your shield. And thirdly, I am your great reward. Now, when we read promises like this, we should always look at the setting of them. And it is a principle that holds true always. And you'll notice that the chapter begins with the words, after these things. So we naturally would ask ourselves, well, what things? What were the circumstances in which God spoke these words to Abraham? Well, the previous chapter tells us about the problems that Lot got himself into. And if you go back to chapter 13, you'll read of the trouble that arose between Abraham and Lot. And I think that what is referred to here are the things that happen in both chapter 13 and chapter 14. First of all, let's think of what happened in chapter 14. Lot had pitched his tent towards Sodom, and there were four kings who had come, and they had formed an alliance in which they had conquered five other kings, including the king of Sodom. That is the city where Lot had come to cast his lot, for he had not only come to pitch his tent in the direction or in the neighbourhood of Sodom, but eventually he had come to live there. And when these kings came and they captured Sodom and took the apparently the king of Sodom captive, they also took Lot captive. Now Abraham had a number of servants. We're told that he had 318 servants, trained, born in his own house, trained and armed as soldiers. That was his defence forces. And when Abram heard that Lot had been taken captive, he went out after those who had captured him, and he delivered Lot, and he brought Lot back with his goods and the women. And the king of Sodom, we read, went out to meet him after his return from the battle. And Melchizedek also met Abraham and blessed him with he gave him bread and wine, and blessed Abraham in the name of the Most High God, the possessor of heaven and earth. Now this particular time, the king of Sodom had come to Abraham and made an offer to make a bargain with him. He said, you give me the souls, you give me the people, and you take the goods for yourself. Now here was an open opportunity. The booty of the battle undoubtedly was great, and Abram was given the opportunity of taking it all. But his words to the king of Sodom were most remarkable. He said, I've lifted up my hand to the Lord, the Most High God, the possessor of heaven and earth, that I will not take from a thread even to a shoe latchet, that I will not take anything that is thine, lest thou should say, I have made Abram rich. You just think of those words. Abram says, I've lifted up my hands to the Most High God, the possessor of heaven and earth. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. He owns the cattle on a thousand hills, the wealth in every mine. He owns the rivers and the rocks and rills. He owns the stars that shine. They're all his. They were made by him, by his power and for his glory, and they all belong to him. He is my God. He possesses all these things. And now you, the king of Sodom, tell me that you are going to give me these goods. He says, I have lifted up my hands to the Lord, the possessor of heaven and earth. He said, I won't take from you from a thread to a shoe latchet. How insignificant can you get? And he shows how much he despises the offer of the king of Sodom by saying he wouldn't even take the latchet of his sandal from him. Why? Lest you should say that I have made Abram rich. Now, having made that denial, God says to him, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. In view of what Abram gave up, God says, I am your reward. Now, we may sometimes think that we have made some sacrifice for the Lord. We may have refused some advantage that has come to us as a matter of principle. But God is, as often been said, and I think verily true, that God is no man's debtor. He will reward us according to our faithfulness. The Lord Jesus told his disciples on one occasion when they said to him, Lord, we've left everything to follow you. And he said to them that there is no man who has left home or family or possessions and all that he has. No man has left these things behind but has not received 100-fold more or will not receive 100-fold more in the kingdom of God. And so the reward that comes to us is from the Lord himself. We read about Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. Now some people might say, well, we shouldn't do things for reward, we should do it for love. Well, there is a sense in which that is true, but our Lord said that anything that is done in his name will by no means lose its reward. He said, even a cup of cold water that is given in my name shall not lose its reward. And in spite of the comment that is made, and it may be made in the air, in the sense of being some superior sense of spirituality, and we say we're not concerned about the reward, our Lord tells us that there are rewards, there are crowns for those who serve him faithfully. And God says here, I am thy shield, I am thy exceeding great reward. Now, in what way was God Abram's reward? Well, I suppose if there was no other way in which God was Abram's reward is that he was pleased to call Abram his friend. Now, it's a great thing sometimes when you hear a great person being spoken about and you're able to say, oh yes, I'm that person's friend. And very often what we really mean to say is we are that person's acquaintance. They know us. And perhaps if we probe a little deeply, we'd find that we're not known very well by them at all. And we claim friendship with great people, but it's a different thing when great people claim us as their friends. And Abraham never said that he was the friend of God or that God was his friend. But it is God who said that Abraham is my friend. And that's where the blessing comes in, that God says, he is my friend. The Lord Jesus once said to his disciples, I do not call you henceforth servants, but I call you friends. For a servant doesn't know what his Lord is doing. Now the remarkable thing is this, that when Peter wrote his letter to his letters, he didn't say, Simon Peter, a friend of Jesus Christ. And when Paul wrote his letters, he didn't say, I'm a friend of Jesus Christ. And when John wrote from the Isle of Patmos, he didn't say that he was in prison because he was a friend of Jesus Christ. But each of these men, when they introduced themselves as bond slaves of Jesus Christ. Had they forgotten what the Lord had said? Henceforth, I call you not servants, I call you friends. I don't believe they forgot for one moment. deep down in their hearts, there would have been undying gratitude to the Lord that he'd taken them up to be his friends. But they didn't trade on that. They didn't presume on it. And it didn't alter the fact that as far as they were concerned, they were satisfied and content to be his bond slaves. Abraham was the friend of God, and it was sufficient for Abraham that God says, I am your friend. I am your reward. Now, Abraham had also refused a lot of goods, and therefore he'd received God as reward. But he'd also incurred the wrath of a number of kings, for he'd gone out with his 318 servants, and he'd attacked these four kings, and he'd released their prisoners, and taken the booty away, and you can imagine that Abram may not have been sleeping with too much peace in the nights that succeeded that. But Abram hears the voice of God. In those circumstances where he's gone out and antagonised these mighty men, these kings, he says, God comes to him and says, Abraham, don't be afraid. I suppose you know what it is to be afraid. We're all afraid sometimes. Even the strongest and bravest of people know what it is to be afraid. Some people are afraid of death. Some people are afraid of poverty, afraid of insecurity, afraid of family problems. We can be afraid of what the future may hold. Some people are afraid. The Lord spoke about times when men's hearts would be failing them for fear because of things that are happening in the world. And we are not immune to other people. Perhaps one of the worst sources of fear is to be afraid of other people, to be afraid of our brethren, to be afraid of people. The fear of man, we read, brings a snare. Now, it doesn't matter what we may be afraid of. God says to us, as he appeared to Abraham, he says, I am, he says, fear not. There are many places in the Bible where God appeared to people and he said, fear not. He said to Jacob, he said it to Moses, he said it to Elijah, and it was to people when they were right at rock bottom, when troubles like sea billows rolled, as our hymn expressed it that we were thinking about earlier today. It was then that God appeared and he said, don't be afraid. And I suppose that's what the brother would have had in his mind when he wrote those words, when peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll. And God would come to each one of us, our Father, and the Lord Jesus would come to us. As we remember, it was the Lord Jesus who appeared to John on the Isle of Patmos, and he laid his right hand upon him, just the same as in the Old Testament God had said, I will hold you with my right hand. In the New Testament we read that it was Jesus put his right hand on the Apostle John on the Isle of Patmos, and he said, John, don't be afraid. And John might well have been afraid as he thought of the wrath of Caesar and the circumstances of his life and that lonely barren island of Patmos. Do not be afraid. I am thy shield, his protection. Don't be afraid of these men. Those men that you've antagonized by delivering Lot, don't be afraid of them. I am thy shield, I am your protection, and I am your exceeding great reward. And God also gave him a promise. Abram was still concerned that he didn't have a son. And Abram was taken outside. And it's interesting to have pointed out to us, as we all have, I'm sure, on occasions, the various things that Abraham looked at. And we're told here that Abraham was told to look up. And into the starry skies he looked up. And God said to him, as the stars of the sky cannot be counted, so shall your seed be. And that was the promise that God made to him. And when God made that promise, Abram believed God. And God reckoned it to him for righteousness. And it happened when he as yet did not have a son. His wife was not even pregnant. And it was not even possible, humanly speaking, for her ever to have a child. And so in those circumstances, Abram's faith was so great. So I bring these words to you today that they might be an encouragement to you. The Lord would come to you and me in whatever our circumstances, and he says, don't be afraid. I am your shield, I am your protection, and I am your exceeding great reward. May the Lord encourage us through the reading of this portion of his word.